This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And Patrick, the Suburbs pod flag is at half mast again.
Totally it is. And man, I'm not going to lie, Jim, the past couple days have been really horrible days, you know, here in this country that we live in. And we lost Tom Petty late last night or late Monday evening, I believe.
Yeah, it was really kind of a crazy emotional day the way that news came out, because there were reports that he had died of a cardiac arrest, and then there were reports saying maybe not, he's just, you know, he's in critical condition. And then I got the final word when I woke up the next morning.
Yeah, me too, and
it confirmed. So Tom Petty, you know, I think, speaking of just this, just the pure shock of it, well, it really came as a shock. And I was thinking about this, how, you know, 66 years old, just completed 40th anniversary tour.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't remember how long it ran exactly, but like literally just a week before he had played at the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, what a great, you know, sort of ending to this, this career, play, you know, in what has become his hometown like that. And then, you know, a week later, he's gone.
And Tom Petty is a pillar of rock and roll for me and for many, many people. And it's just not right that he's not there anymore. It just, and I know he's not, you know, he's not going to be gone. I know he's crossed over, you know, into another dimension or wherever he has gone to. But, you know, I think that he will always be there. But you're right. There was still a vibrancy about Tom Petty, you know. Probably still a lot of people still had in their mind, hey, I'll be able to see Tom, you know, for 10, 15 more years. Like, he'll still be playing like I saw him, you know, like Dylan kind of a thing where he'd just keep touring and, you know, be around and continuing to put out records in his own idiosyncratic way. And it's a big loss. And he, I think, is a character that has very few parallels in rock and roll history. He was very unusual.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
Like you said, first off, he seemed to have a certain boyishness to him, you know, even in older age. He had that kind of wit and that energy and that playfulness to him and a certain sincerity, I think, that really made him seem, again, like somebody who, you know, who was really just going to last a long time, because he wasn't, you know, although his, some of his songs had a certain sarcasm maybe in them, or kind of a searing bite in some ways, he didn't seem cynical. He wasn't that kind of a performer. You know, there was a lot of optimism in his music. There was a lot of just kind of, you know, plain spoken, you know, emotion that would come through. He wasn't trying to be oblique or obtuse or try to, you know, you get you to sort of decipher things. His feelings were right out there, and I think, you know, sort of because of that, you almost had the sense that where am I going, that sort of psychologically or mentally, that he was, you know, always kind of in a good place, you know what I mean? He was able to sort of work out whatever issues he might have through music.
I know
he had some troubles in his life with some substance abuse and things like that. And I believe he was a long time, you know, smoker too, and that couldn't have been good. But what all I'm trying to say is that he never seemed like the kind of guy who was, you know, sort of, you know, emotionally troubled, right?
No, exactly. No, never particularly seemed tormented. He always seemed to have a clear outlook on life coming from his point of view, right? Which was rebellious, you know, in some senses. I think of his battle with, I think it was MCA Records, to lower the list price of one of his albums in the 80s, and he won that battle, and he never backed down. I think he wrote a song called "Don't Back Down," right?
Right.
Won't back down, and you know he was, he came from that clear Tom Petty point of view. He had that same hairstyle with the part down the middle and the blonde hair forever, right? Yep. You know, you can still see him on the front of that first album, and he didn't look all that different, you know, all the way up through the Traveling Wilbury days, and maybe he had the beard, but other than that, he was the same sort of Tom Petty. And that voice, that nasally voice, to me, Jim, he was one of the most interesting post-Dylan singers, because he kind of took that Dylan can't sing, so it works thing and really made it his own. You know, he was indebted, I think, to Dylan in that sense. And what a student of rock and roll history. We were just talking before we turned the microphones on about how he made records, and his records just sounded so unique. I mean, you never could mistake a Tom Petty record when it came on the radio.
Yes, and there's so much that goes into that, and I think we're going to save that when we're going to do some more extensive episodes next week.
We are.
Tom Petty. We'll get to that in a minute here. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned... Well, actually, let me hold this thought.
Okay.
Let's play something.
Okay.
So it's a funny thing because you and I both love Tom Petty.
Yeah.
And so much so that on our old podcast, the old podcast that we used to do, the very first song we ever played was this. I think a great example of just how he really shone as a pop craftsman.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, lyrically, I think that song is just amazing.
Oh, it's incredible.
And what makes it amazing is it seems so simple. Like you know, we were just saying, he wrote direct lyrics. I mean, you didn't have to sit there and sort of decipher them or wonder what they were about. He believed in songwriting in sort of the classic sense of, like, you know, kind of 60s pop, you know? But in some ways that's harder because it's so easy to be corny, cheesy, hokey. But he never settled for that. There's so much he could put in a line. One of my favorite lines in that song, "I showed you stars you never could see."
Yeah.
You know, the song opens with them sitting on the roof. So it, like, literally they're looking up at the stars, but that's not what the line means, right?
No,
it's all about how he opened this world to her.
Yeah.
You know,
and it couldn't have been that easy to forget about.
Them. Right. And then there's the sort of the bite, right? And I think he got some of that from Dylan, from liking Dylan, you know, couldn't have been easy for me. There's a real attitude in the music too. It's the same with "You Got Lucky When I Found You," lines like that, right?
Exactly.
But not every song is like that either. There's other songs about longing. There's songs about breakups. There's songs about there's a song much later in his career. We were talking about this off mic called "Wildflowers," which is about sort of letting someone go and be who they need to be, right? So he mainly wrote about relationships. That is true. But he wrote about a lot of different aspects of it. And when you think of all, his body of work and all the hit songs he had and everything he put out, the fact that he could do that at such a high level and basically, mine that same topic over and over again without it getting boring, without it sounding the same, without it getting, cheesy, it's really a huge accomplishment. And here's the other thing about Petty. I'd like to get your take on this is... in some ways, I think he seems underappreciated. Do you, whenever people, rank or talk about the greatest artists of all time, it's like, I think, critically, you know, the critics always loved Petty, but I don't think they ever had him at that like sort of A-level top echelon. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
I do.
He, you know, he came along at the same time, you know, as like Springsteen. You know, Springsteen was always going to eclipse him. You know, he later, you know, developed really close relationships, you know, musically, and I think, you know, just friendship wise with guys like Dylan and you know, George Harrison, people like that, and they were always going to sort of be above him. You know, he obviously had a love for the Birds, and he worked with Roger McGuinn, but he never felt that he was as good as the Birds. You know, there was always this feeling maybe that he was like a notch down, but I think that's really unfortunate, you know. And how often do you ever hear like people say, like, you know, that put Tom Petty in sort of like a top 10 or that kind of thing, right?
I know exactly what you mean, Jim. And I think part of that becomes that nobody expected him to leave us when he left us. And so maybe in people's minds, there was like, Petty's still going, like,
yeah,
you know, so we can still evaluate him. But you're right. I think for somebody who essentially worked from the materials, to me, of the Birds and the Rolling Stones, plus, you know, classic 60s pop, right? I think, yep, of like the Searchers or,
yep,
bands like that, yet came out with something really original because his writing was so sharp and concise, and he had an ability to get the best aspects of those records but not directly imitate them.
That's right.
And I think his influence is very underrated as well. I was thinking, I think you and I maybe were chatting at some point about the Strokes recently, but think of American Girl versus like Last Night by the Strokes.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, it's a very similar, right, kind of template, you know, and the Strokes were hailed as, you know, here's rock and roll back again.
Right.
You know, but think about some of the songs the guy's written, and just like you said, they're so simplistic. And I don't know how many musicians we've talked to that said the hardest thing to do,
right,
is to write something simple and direct and make it stick in your mind. And Petty was that person to be able to do that. And you're right. I think it's kind of a really short-sighted by a lot of people that he's not up there with the, you know, the Jim Morrisons of the world or yeah, you know, somebody like that.
I mean, you know, like I said, he is critically acclaimed. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all of that. But he, for whatever reason, you know, I think he's just sort of taken for granted, yeah, in some way. The other thing I'll give him a lot of credit for, too, is his songs do not all sound the same. There's a,
absolutely
a lot
not,
of, you know, there's a lot of differences. It's built on, you know, many of the same influences, but he really, you know, made sort of each one its own unique little piece. I'm not even counting in that Don't Come Around Here No More, which I think is like a, you know, really an outlier in sort, yeah, of like terms of sound. But even just among his like kind of more classic hits, you know, a song like Here Comes My Girl.
Yeah.
That to me is such a unique sounding song. You know,
you immediately recognize, right, it, you know. And the interesting thing I think about, you know, this whole parallel discussion about where he ranks. I mean, and you mentioned Springsteen, and I don't want to dwell on it. Maybe we'll get into it more,
right,
when we discuss his music and specific songs in depth. But he worked with a band, you know, his whole career that was very identifiable. I mean, you knew guys in the band when you saw them, right? You knew Mike Campbell and Ben Montench, and you know those guys as part of the Heartbreakers, you,
that's,
know,
right.
And yet Petty led that band, yet still was Petty, you know, to so many people. He put out solo albums and nobody really blinked an eye, and worked with the Traveling Wilburys and moved in all these, you know, other circles. He really was a giant.
Recorded with Stevie Nicks.
Exactly.
Things like that.
Oh, my,
right,
goodness. That was a heartbreaking thing.
Yes.
And, you know, he was a lucky man to have done that. I love Stevie Nicks.
I mean, that to me is another just incredible, almost underappreciated song. It's, yeah, Stop Dragging My Heart
Oh
Around.
My God.
I mean, just to sort of knock that out and be like, here you go, Stevie. Let's,
yeah,
do this song.
To be able,
right,
to sing,
you
with,
know,
her and go toe-to-toe is kind of incredible.
It's amazing.
It really is.
You know, you mentioned the band. I think the band is really important. You know, you hit on probably the two key players, Mike,
yeah,
Campbell and Ben Montench, who are guys who like grew up in Gainesville like him. It's not like he went out and found great guys and recruited them to be in the band.
Just dudes from his high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they end up being like two of the greatest players, you know, in rock history. But it was important to him to have a band.
Yeah.
You know, it started with Mudcrutch. Mudcrutch broke up. The label wanted to keep him on. but it was important to him then to form the Heartbreakers because he knew that like he wasn't going to ever get like great music just out of playing with session musicians and hiring touring pros and whatever. You needed that unit, right? Yeah. So like Springsteen, he sort of had the best of both worlds. He was the leader and he could call the shots, but he had a band, a true band behind him,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Know? So that was important. And I think that's important for rock music. You know, if you're really making, you know, something really special in rock, that tight unit, you know, is just really important. There's so much I could say.
I
think we're going to do that next week.
I think
right?
we have to, Jim. Yes. I don't see it, that we have any choice in this
to me,
matter.
He's just one of the giants. He's one of the giants and different in a way than, say, Bowie and Prince. I think he doesn't necessarily get the credit that he is due for being one of those giants.
I would agree with that. And I think for you and I, of our vintage, and many of our listeners are probably our similar vintage. I mean, what? For us, Petty was when he made his debut in 76. We were probably, what, 8, 9, 10 years old, right, somewhere in that area. But that's when, you know, it's only a couple years later when you started, you know, starting to hear songs and starting to appreciate music. So Petty's kind of been there for us.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time. I mean, Free Fallin' happened and we were still with him. And you know, that whole Southern Accents album with Dave Stewart happened. And he made the solo record. And, you know, Last Dance for Mary Jane happened. And we were still right there with him. And, you know, our good friend Mike Snyder has been going to see him like pretty religiously his whole life.
I don't think he ever fell into being a nostalgia act.
Maybe
some of the attention, maybe he couldn't command some of the attention with his later albums that he did his earlier work. But I don't think anybody ever felt that he was not, you know, out there just producing, giving his all, you know.
And he never gave in. I mean, he never had like Take Dylan, for example. He, you know, had this bizarre detour into Christianity and you know, went into seclusion for like 2 years at the height of his powers. And Petty just was there the whole time, man, burning. He was out there burning the whole time.
That's right. And then, and one last thing I'll say for today. The other thing I think is just really, really impressive about Tom Petty is, first off, how many people do you know? How many people have you ever met in your life who are music fans who don't like Tom Petty?
Yeah, great point.
You know, I think he transcended. He was critically acclaimed, and I think he sort of transcended the whole, you know, mainstream versus alternative, whatever. You know, I a lot of friends of mine who are, you know, otherwise would have nothing to do with somebody who gets played on the radio, love Tom Petty.
Yeah.
You know, because his music was just so genuine and authentic, you know, and also really appealed, I think, to people who wanted that sort of like real rock and roll, that back to basics kind of sound, and that craftsmanship, like we were talking about, that he took it seriously, that he wasn't just goofing around, but yet that had sort of like, you know, the kind of energy and spirit to it. It wasn't highly produced, you know.
No.
He never had those moments in the 80s to do like some power ballads or any of that kind of stuff, you know. He never fell into those traps. He did what was real for him. So I think he appealed to, you know, rock fans, pop fans, you know, alternative fans. Mm-hmm. He kind of at the time sort of fit into a little bit of kind of a new wave punk in a way,
a little bit.
You know, when he was young,
wore a lot of leather,
you know, because he was big in the UK to begin with, and he fit right in with those sort of like UK you know, guitar bands that were coming out at the time. And and he, you know, he appealed to the older crowd too, the baby boomers, the Dylan, you know, types and all of that.
And I think, you know, and we'll talk about this more up in the upcoming episodes, but Tom Petty adapted to the video revolution better than Springsteen and almost any of those his peers.
Totally.
You know, they were all kind of left behind, or they look kind of silly. But man, he embraced the medium and made it work for him. And he might be one of the top three greatest, you know, FM classic radio, you know, record makers of all time. I mean, I don't think I've ever turned off a Tom Petty song when it came on the radio.
I don't know how you would.
I don't know how you can.
And one thing on the videos, too. Despite doing videos that were sort of scripted and had little stories and things like that, he still somehow maintained his aura of, like, being cool.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
even when he's wearing that top hat.
Is there ever a time that Tom Petty did not seem cool?
No, I don't think there was. No, you know? He was always cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for that, he's a rock star in my mind.
There you go.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
This was quickly done because we had to get this out.
Yeah.
And it's important that people, pay tribute here to Tom Petty. We've cleared out next week.
We have.
And we're going to do a whole Tom Petty week.
Calendar is clear.
And we're working on what those episodes are actually going to be. We're still kind of figuring that out. But you, as listeners, could really help us in that regard. We know that people love Tom Petty. And so why don't you, if you can, give us a call on our hotline and tell us about a Tom Petty memory or what you love about Tom Petty or your favorite song or great concert you saw or whatever it may be. Just, you know, something that's important to you about Petty. You can call the number 612-440-1984.
Yep. Sorry, I stepped on you there. 1984. It's okay in this case. That's right.
I want people to really get this. Yep. 612-440-1984. Call that number and leave us a message about Petty, and we'll put your voice on the show next week. If you'd rather type something out, that's fine. You can email us rock@suburbspod.com and send us an email there. And we could read what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we get, the better. And we'd really like to make this sort of a community experience.
Let's do that.
Everybody have, you know, their own thoughts and memories about Tom Petty. We would love to hear that, right?
You, listener, can help us. And as you often say, Jim, it's a family here at Rock in the Suburbs.
It is.
A big extended family. So let's all get together and have a good cry on each other's shoulders about Petty and just relive all the good things. It's like a classic wake, you know. We'll give Petty his due here and just celebrate everything. I'll talk about my love for Southern accents, among other things.
Well, speaking of that, so let's play out with the song Southern Accents.
Great.
And the reason why I want to do this, it was the first thing I thought of as we were getting the news. The first song I thought to really sort of encapsulate Tom Petty, because he wrote, you know, mostly about relationships. Even when it was written in the first person, you get the feeling he was singing about himself.
Yeah.
You know, he was writing it in sort of a universal sense. But in the Southern Accents album, he really tried to write personal stories about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the song Southern Accents, which was not a single, but I think over time has just become a really big, important song in the Tom Petty catalog, is very personal. And as someone myself, I grew up in the Midwest, but I've lived in Southern states. I've lived in the South for about 20 years now. And I kind of get, you know, this, what he's writing about here, this sense of how people look at you. You know, here's Tom Petty, grew up in Gainesville, Florida. You know, how people look at you, what they think of you, the conclusions that they reach, and that not everybody can be defined a certain way just because they have that Southern drawl like he had.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's hear a little Southern Accents, a very personal Tom Petty song. And, as I mentioned, please contribute your Tom Petty memories, and all next week, Tom Petty week, right?
Absolutely. I can't wait. You know, I'm saddened by the circumstances, but it's going to be nice to celebrate his life and work.
I think it'll feel really good. So, all right. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll definitely talk to you guys about this later. There's a southern accent where I'm not gonna
southern accent where I come from. Just a minute there I was dreaming. Just a minute.